Even in our darkest hours, He pulls us in close. Do we believe that? Amen. Let's give Him a shout of praise this morning. As we get ready to pray, I want you to take that image in your mind of what that looks like, you know, of a grandparent reaching down to help their grandchild or cover them from darkness, cover them from weakness, cover them from, you know, danger. And I want you to think about when you first became a Christian. I want you to think about where you were, that place you were in when God took a hold of your hand. And how scary that might have been at that time when you made that leap. But the joy and comfort that you felt. Say thank you to Lord. Say thank you to our Lord. Now I want you to think about all the people that are right at that point right now. And the love and comfort that they also need. That God is covering them. But they still need us. We need to be listening to God. We need to be sensitive to God. We need to know when to reach out a hand and just give somebody a hug. We need to know that they don't know all the things. And sometimes they just need to be always just in His presence. And you may need to be the one to provide some comfort for them in their time of need. So Lord, I pray that we are sensitive. I pray that we are always sensitive to Your word and Your urging, and that we know where to be sent and we know where to reach out our hand, Lord. Lord, it's in Your great grace that we listen to You, Lord. That we listen and obey. Amen, Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Chris Phillips. Good morning, Dave. I'm the director of youth ministries, and I just want to welcome you this morning. If this is your first time here at Seaport, if you haven't figured this out yet, we're a very welcoming church, and we love to clap for people. See, I don't even have to tell them. They just start clapping. Anyways, we would love to connect with you, and it's very easy to do that. The easiest way to do it is if you text the word welcome to 860-969-2145, and then a little link will come back to you. Then you have to take that next step. You have to click on the link, and then you have to fill it out. And then we will instantly be connected with you. We can also connect with you on our Church Center app. That's where all our events are. We got a calendar on there. Everything that's going on in the church, easiest place to go is the Church Center app. We're also on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, any social media platform that's out there, we're probably on it. And you can also connect with us on seaportcommunitychurch.org. Anyways, before I get ready to release the teens here, tonight there's a youth rally going on here at Seaport. If you haven't signed up yet, that's okay. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's going to be awesome. And what's this youth rally for? This youth rally is so that we can help teach teens to connect with other teens, right? It's one thing for me to get up here and talk to you guys about stuff. It's another for us to have, you know, discipleship in a classroom. But it's another thing for one teen to connect to another, right? They know the struggles. They feel the struggles of what it's like to be a teenager today. I don't know what that's like. We had pagers when I was a teenager. I know some of you guys are laughing because you know that too. Anyways, 6 o'clock tonight, youth rally here in the building. And then afterwards, we're going to have a little bonfire outside and then some s'mores. So I expect to see all your teens there. And bring your friends. All right, teens, you guys, both high school and middle schoolers, you guys are released to room 5. And Pastor Brad is going to come up and talk with us about giving. Thanks, Pastor Brad.
Good morning, everybody. Morning, everyone, and it's good to see all of you. And they had a youth event Friday night, and they had 11 of our teens, and they brought 5 of their friends. That was a great thing, wasn't it? That was a great thing. So thank God for that, and appreciate that. Hallelujah. We've been doing the 21 days. Every day you get an email written by me. It comes out a little after midnight. And it's on the Facebook connection, our connection page, That's kind of our family page. I hope that you're seizing those opportunities to take a meal or a day or whatever it is to pray and to fast. Every one of those things, that those prayer topics that I write, is something that God gives me for that particular day. So I hope that you'll step into that. We've got 10 days left to go. So can I encourage you to be part of that and just step into it? I don't care if it's a meal or several meals or a day or a few days, whatever it is. Can you step into that? You're getting an email, right? You're getting on the connection page, right? And there it is. There's two places for you to easily access it. Jump in and be part of that and really focus. And again, today was really on really praying for our new Christians that they'd be strong. It's a great way to pray for yourself too. You'll find it in Colossians chapter 1. A great way to pray for yourself as well. So thanks so much for that. I appreciate that and just being part of that. We're about to honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings, and thanks for being so faithful. It took us a while to finally get this together, and I appreciate your patience. Some of you are stepping out, and you're going to take my challenge. We call it God's guarantee, where you're going to see what God does. Take a 90-day challenge, and you're going to tithe. Give that first 10% to the Lord. At the end of 90 days, this is the guarantee. At the end of 90 days, if you are in financial difficulties or you haven't seen God bless you in some significant fashion, we give everything back that you gave in the 90 days. And you know what? I've seen God. So those of you that are taking that, many of you have signed up. You can still sign up. You can do it on the app if you want to do that. But if you have signed up, there's a bunch of you that have already signed up. You can sign up today if you want to do that. I want you to just run up here quick. I want to pray for you. I'm going to give you a copy of this book. I like this. Just come on up here. Just stand up here quick because we're not going to take much time on this. And if you signed up for this, come up here right now. There's about 10 of you that have already signed up. So listen, as you're coming, just come and stand up here in front of me. It says, not everyone is excited when we prosper. Satan hates it when we prosper and will try to keep us enslaved because he knows money is influence. Worse than that, others may see the good that the Lord, how good the Lord is, and turn to him. The devil has worked hard to corrupt God's character, telling people that God is unfair and a hard taskmaster. He knows that if people have discovered the truth about God, he would not be able to contain the flood of people leaving his kingdom and going into the kingdom of light. This book is filled with great stories of how God had blessed this dude and the interesting insights. It's blessed me as I've read this book. And so I'm just giving this book to you today. Grab one of these books here, you know, one per family. Go ahead and grab one of these and take hold of that. And I'm just going to pray that as you step into this challenge, that God just blesses your life in a significant fashion. Hallelujah. Read this book. Don't just throw it on underneath your bed somewhere. You know, read this thing and it will help you. The insights that this guy has into the scripture, how that God wants to bless us, is significant. And it's not just about money either. He talks about being full of the Spirit too. Very interesting. So Lord, thank you for the privilege of just stepping into blessing and prosperity with you. It is all for the extension of your kingdom and to help other people. And so Lord, help us as we take this challenge to see you do remarkable things. Thanks, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I'm proud of you. I can't wait to hear your stories. Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. Give them a round of applause. That's good. Take that step of faith. You know what? Put the principles in this book and put them into practice and watch what God does. Amen. I mean, I started tithing when I was 16 years of age, right after I became a Christian, and have done it for almost 50 years. And I've seen God, you know what? God will never be in debt to you. You're not going to outgive him. He's just not going to let that happen. He'll bless your life in ways. Now, even not like you think and not like when you think, but he will do it. Trust him. You can still sign up if you want to do that. Hallelujah. So right now, you know what? Thanks so much. You know how we're still in the contactless form of giving here. And you know, there's kiosks out there. You know how to do it now. There's kiosks out there that you can throw an envelope in. You can use the app. You can go online. There's all these methods and ways to give today. Thank you so much for being so faithful. And we're just excited to see what God does. you know what? Let's do this because, you know, we rarely hold checkbooks anymore. You know, how, you know, I looked the other day. I wanted to find out when the last time I wrote a personal check. It was October 2010. I have not written a personal check since 11 years. And nothing wrong with checks. And if you still use them, that's great. But there's so many different ways to give these days. You know, let's take a moment right now. Why don't you do this? Why don't you hold your phone in your hands? Because that's kind of something that we're kind of, it's so connected to us. Why don't you hold your phone in your hand, making sure that it's off. Okay. Words for Friends is off. Facebook is off. Whatever. Just hold that. Just as a way of, you're not asking God to bless your phone. You're just saying, you're just holding on to that, because that's the way that we use so much the way of giving today. We use that thing. And just simply pray, let's just pray that God just honors our giving in a significant way. Amen? Amen. God has no problem blessing you as long as our heart is to extend his kingdom and to help others and to meet our legitimate needs. He has no problem blessing you. Amen? It's when we start lusting after junk stuff that he has a problem. So, Father God, we hold in our hands, God, this instrument that we use to give so often, and we pray that, God, that you would, as we have been faithful and generous, God, to give, I pray that, God, that you would just extend prosperity and blessing to all of us. God, it isn't about just buying stuff. It is about blessing your kingdom, caring for our families, and having enough to bless others in need. And so, Lord, we want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Thanks, Lord. We commit it to you. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so very, very much for that. I appreciate that. Some quick opportunities. And then we're going to keep going here because we're going to baptize some folks. And just right at the very end of the service, that's always fun and exciting. And it's great. On next Sunday afternoon, it's already here, we are going to honor some young women who have spent four years. They have worked very diligently, and they have completed this whole program. They're going to be crowned honor stars, and we want you to come and to celebrate with us next Sunday afternoon, and I hope that you will. That same weekend, next weekend, is a father-son camp out. Look at that. Isn't that a great opportunity? There's so many opportunities around here. There's a girls' night out the same night. Look at that, girls' night out. Also, there's the family. Now, you're hearing about this for the very first time. We've been doing movie nights, but this is a family fun night. This is a combination, not only a movie, but much more than that. This is it's a big outreach is what it is. We'll set up the big screen out in front. We'll have the food. We'll have games. We will also have the costume parade like we did last year. And it's a big family fun night. And you know, of course, with the big movie and the whole thing. So it'll be a great time, a great opportunity to reach out. Amen. So that's, you're hearing about that for the very first time. Also, I'm going to do a webinar called Engage on the 5th. And that is really about saying, I want to be involved in Seaport. Engage is a webinar on Zoom that I will do with you. And it'll take about an hour, 15 minutes. This will explain to you what Seaport's about and how to be involved. And so you'll get more information on that, okay? There's a lot happening around here Wednesday night. We relaunched our new life class for new believers. That's a great thing. That's exciting. And then Chris is going to be continuing the series Planet Shaking Prayers with Building Faith to Receive. So that's Wednesday night. So there's a lot happening around here. Aren't you grateful? Hallelujah. So today, as we continue the series, Planet Shaking Prayers, the series has been really has been about helping you to understand how to pray or how to pray more effectively. And today, we are going to go to what is really the Lord's Prayer found in John 17. And in just a few moments, Ed, one of our deacons, is going to come and share this message, and then I'll come up afterwards and we'll baptize some folks. But just before Ed comes, take a look at something that only works when they're in complete unity. Let's take a look.
What a clear picture of what unity can accomplish. The only way that these planes can fly so close is they actually, you can see in a video, is that they have to look at the plane tips of the other planes around them, and they have to follow the leader. In our church, if we operated like this with such precision, what could this church accomplish? What could we become? I've used this concept many times through prayer meetings for the last few years here at Seaport. I would get a picture of those planes, and God impressed upon me all of the time. That's what true unity comes, is when this church starts to follow our leader. We find that in the biblical church that Jesus Christ is the CEO, he's the CFO, and he is the chairman of the board for his bride, the church here on earth. We find that in biblical language that Christ is the head over everything for the church. The church is his body, of which that he is the Savior. Jesus' relationship with the church is very close. And for Christ loved the church that he actually gave himself for all of us and died on the cross for us. And he wants to work with the church to bring the church to purity and holiness, to where there's not a blemish in a church. Can you imagine the church of what we know as a church, that one day God is working this church to a point where there's not a blemish in the whole church, and he's going to present this bride to himself? It's amazing when you think about it. So that's why, you know, our pastor is literally the shepherd, and he's the leader over us on this earth for his church. He's ordained by God to be in that position. And there comes a time when he's not and somebody else moves, God will bring someone else that's going to be ordained into that position and show the leadership that this is what he wants to do. But in the meantime, Pastor Brad is our leader here on earth. That's why we need to pray for him. We need to pray for Pastor Brad constantly, because he needs to have his ears open to be able to hear God speak to him clearly. His responsibility is to hear God and be able to move at a moment's notice. And he's done it a few times here. If you notice in the last year and a half with this COVID issues, that he's decided to run a church service on a Saturday night because we had a storm come in or whatever it might be. And God told him, go do this. And he did it. So we need to learn to trust him. We, our responsibility as leaders and members in his church and people coming, we need to learn to trust Pastor Brad and know that he's hearing from God. Our sermon and prayer today is for supernatural unity to manifest in our church. We will learn that today is how this is exactly possible. When we talk about supernatural unity, it's not a unity that's man-made. And we'll learn more about this today. The church is a place where grace must be abundant. If we want to live in true unity, it should be a place where people feel safe to bring their struggles and their sorrows and get fed here at church. The church and her people are imperfect. One of the first things that the Holy Spirit impresses upon us is as we move towards salvation is that we are unrighteous. We are unholy, but then we find hope in the holiness of Christ. His grace gives us the motivation to do the things that will honor him instead of dishonoring him. We must practice following Jesus in a community of faith every day. Simple disciplines like reading the Bible, meditating on God, and worshiping God, God keeps us rooted in the faith so that we can follow Jesus instead of living as a hypocrite and producing the fruit of the Spirit rather than the fruit of unhealthy Christian life. That's why I love this song that we sang this morning, Do Not Let Me Go, Pull Me In Close. I love that song. And I just as much as people here, I heard you all worshiping, it was awesome. When our theology doesn't extend to loving action, we look a lot like the Pharisees. Loving action must align with the biblical truth, or we miss the heart of the gospel, and we sell a version of Jesus that does not sustain us when we grow weary in doing good. Loving others well happens in the context of relationship. Jesus modeled this by telling us to love our neighbor. Plain and simple, love your neighbor. Standing for biblical truth in our personal lives will often include practical actions like voting in a way that supports biblical views, working towards functions or other type of concerns out there that follow biblical views, being a leader in your business place and following biblical views on your job. Today, God is testing all of us to see if we are in this world or are we being separate, getting us hot for the Lord and not being lukewarm. Do you have true faith to trust him? We're all being challenged in that today. It doesn't mean that we have to voice our opinion about everything on our social media. Many of us love to vent our truth to all to hear on the internet. But really, will those divisive opinions cause real change and transformation in the lives of others? More that they will cause more hurt and division. Again, we must stand and ask God for direction on how to handle sensitive situations. You must do it God's way and not our way. Most of the time, God will tell you to be patient and pray and watch me do the work, which will be a complete transformation of the heart. God works from the inside out. To be a true evangelist, to pursue unity in our Christian brothers and sisters and to love our neighbors well, we have to take time to be into each another's lives that we have. It means that we need to be less of being keyboard warriors. I love that term. You know, a lot of times of what we put on the internet, you wish sometimes you can go back and delete it, you know? But I'll tell you what, we'll find out here later. There's a lot of things you can do on the internet, but a lot of people thought that Hillary lost her 30,000 emails, but it's on a server somewhere, right? There's a lot of things that we do, but it's on a server somewhere. And there's one server up in heaven that is on. Okay? But there's only one way to see that get erased, and that's by the blood of Jesus. And you come for forgiveness. You know, we can get supernatural power of unity. Jesus prayed that all believers throughout all time would demonstrate a supernatural unity, and that he stressed that this unity would amaze the world. You know what's important to a person but what they pray about, especially when they're going through difficult times. You listen to somebody that's praying, that's going through a difficult time, and listen to how they pray. Jesus had just celebrated the Passover with his men, and then he makes the 1 mile walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. At this favorite place where Jesus prays, he pours out his heart, and John records it. And I'm so glad that he did. We need to listen to this part. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me, because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind. And just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be the one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so that they'll be unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. And then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you have sent me and loved them in the same way that you loved me. And this is from John chapter 17. And I use the Message because sometimes that brings it out in a little better, clearer way for us to communicate. And such a passionate desire from Jesus cannot easily be dismissed. But this is more than just a longing. Jesus emphasized a purpose in this unity when he stated that, and then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you have sent me and loved them. Let's look at a few practical ways that a church can get evidence of that God is working through it. The church needs to strive with God's help to be increasingly united. The goal is not perfect unity, but more unity. Let me say that again. The goal is not perfect unity, but that we have more unity. Christ's prayer is not that churches fabricate mindless slaves to corporate visions. Rather, Jesus emphasized that the church unity was to be an earthly reflection of the oneness, just like the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to be striving to be more unified, which has benefits that can still make the effort worth it. Jesus prayed that he and his followers be one, as he and his Father are one. Jesus said that our oneness will convince the world that God sent him to us and that God loves us. His community of believers are here on earth. Our oneness isn't the one thing that will make us different from the world. Jesus wants us to love one another in the same way that he first loved us. And it's by our love for each other that the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples. Why aren't we talking or taking any notice to what God's talking about love and unity? He talks a lot about it in the Bible. Why don't we notice that? What should we do? What should we really do? Loving each other doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other about everything. We are members and brothers and sisters in any family. They'll always disagree. So we disagree, but we do so knowing that the people we're talking about are our sisters and brothers in Jesus' family, and that means that we treat them with respect and affection. Importantly, it means that we listen to what they have to say. And really listen, not just wait for them to finish speaking so we could show them where they're wrong. I would add that the purpose of a discussion is also understanding. If we love our sisters and brothers in Christ, we will want to understand them. This means that we must listen to them. And true listening is a thing that you just don't learn naturally. You have to really work at it to be a true listener. One of the most important things we must do is to fulfill Jesus' teaching about oneness and loving one another, is to be humble. Jesus talked a lot about the importance of being humble. I mean a lot. Being humble means recognizing that we are no better than our sisters and brothers. We need to humbly listen to our sisters and brothers because we could be wrong and they might be right. God may choose to speak to us through them, and we need to be sure that we're listening. We followers of Jesus are called to be humble, affectionate, kind, respectful, and listening love. It's time to stop criticizing each other and start accepting, supporting, and encouraging each other. Then we will be examples of how God wants all of his human children to live. Each of us can start right now. Let's pray that God will teach us to love our Christian sisters and brothers in a way that will convince the world that we are his disciples. As human beings, we make mistakes and we get things wrong. I'm human, therefore I make mistakes and I get things wrong sometimes. So the lack of love and unity amongst Christians must be practically my fault. And therefore, God expects me to do something about it. It must also be partially the fault of the church. And God expects me to do something about that too. The change must start with me. There's power in unity. There's power when God's people abide in him. There's power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And this power is not of our own. It's a divine power. The world is unprincipled. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live to fight our battles that way. Never have, and we never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. And man, we see that more and more each day. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Tearing down every stronghold and every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Tearing down every dividing wall of hostility that stands between us and God. It's the power of salvation for all who believe. It's a power that regenerates hearts, justifies our very beginning, sanctifies our lives. It's the power to make those orphaned by sin into children of the highest. This is the power of God. Jesus knew this power. Jesus drew on this power. Jesus understood this power. He lived in close, deep, intimate communication with his Father his entire life. And he drew on his power constantly to heal and to forgive and to cast out demons and to calm storms. He drew on his power when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes and turned the water into wine. He drew on his power when he suffered and he died. And at the same power that was at work when he was raised from the dead. This is the power that Jesus offers to those who follow him. Let's just take a moment and praise his name, Lord. You have your power. We are just humans, but with your Holy Spirit and your power in us, we can accomplish great things. So I just pray, Lord, that you strengthen us, Lord, and increase our faith in this morning in Jesus' name. The gift that Jesus offers us is himself. It's beyond comprehension. He literally offers us the same power that created the universe, the same power that raised the dead, the same power that will one day bring all things together and make all things new. This same power is available to us throughout our relationship with Christ and in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. This is why no weapon that is formed against us can stand. This is why no flaming arrows of the evil one can pierce the shield of faith. This is why we have nothing to fear, because we abide in the vine. We stand on the rock. We drink from the fountains of living water. We need to increase our unity in our prayer life. Joining in just one of our many prayer meetings will help strengthen you and see other members pouring their lives out to the Lord, their hearts out to the Lord. You will develop a greater relationship. It'll help you to develop a closer relationship with each other when you pray together. The key is for all of us to draw closer to Jesus. The body of Christ will discover a collective power in this unity, and it will make a huge impact on the world, all because believers have put aside the differences and come together as one in Christ. Does this mean that they agree on everything? Absolutely not. Unity is not the same as agreement by all people involved. Consensus? No. The unity we need comes from a deeper source, a spiritual source, a well that never runs dry. Common faith in Christ. We all believe in Christ. That's what we need to unify around. You know, this past 2 years has been a serious battle with the elections and the COVID crisis that we've had. There's no doubt that the COVID crisis has been used to bring disunity into our church. You know, Satan has used it to divide us and tries to conquer us. The control issues, everything that's going on. And we need to be fully aware of the snares and the traps of Satan and do not take that bait. Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie can tell you that over the years of this church, just as we are really making forward progress, Satan uses to derail this church. Done it a number of times. And I stand here today and I say no more. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I come against it. We are not going to accept it. We are going to bind together in unity, supernatural unity, and I'm going to use this word, majestic. We saw those planes. This is going to be majestic unity at Seaport Church. Come on. God can do it. We can't do it in our own strength. It's got to be us drawing closer to the Lord. That's how this is going to be accomplished. We have unity through the blood. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we be reconciled to God and therefore be unified together as people. There's no peace, unity, or agreement amongst men unless they have come through the blood, sprinkled by the way of redemption. Only those that turn to and trust wholly in the blood alone for the forgiveness, the justification, redemption, and sanctification can be made one. We are not united by being nice to each other. We are not united by avoiding disagreements. We are only united because the blood has dealt with our sin. Amen. Unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling. Here we see that the true unity is a unity of the Spirit. Notice it's the Holy Spirit is mentioned here, not with some mystical, vague, religious spirit of unity. This is a true unity created by the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility is defined as endeavoring to keep it. We are here to make every effort and be quick and earnest and give diligent study in keeping and guarding and watching over this unity. Any thought that Satan wants to come because he wants to destroy unity in his body, you need to capture those thoughts and step on them in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to accept it. And if you have a problem, go talk to that person in person, face to face, in private, and deal with it biblically. You know, we see corporate organizations in the military, they love to go out and spend billions of dollars in trying to develop unity in their companies, in the military. But, you know, people are people. And it's not a supernatural unity done where the hearts are truly changed. You'll have people out in different rows out there doing corporate unity. Well, what's it in for me? I can quit this company, go to another company, make another 20% more. That's the way to think. But really, in supernatural unity, God will transform your heart. True church unity is of the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. True unity comes when more of us are all living closer to Jesus and we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer for unity in our body here at Seaport comes by having freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking true freedom, not religious laws. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to speak to you. He wants the Holy Spirit to fill you. He wants to help you. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And it's the Lord who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Our prayer should be for each of us to walk in complete freedom. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom to live a holy and a fruitful life, and therefore we can have the unity of our body that we need as we walk in the freedom of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We see that in Galatians chapter 5. Just like to have the worship team come up. So in conclusion, Jesus has paid the price for you on the cross. We have been redeemed and set free into a victorious life. He didn't sacrifice his life for you to remain bound to sin and defeat. Yes, there will be challenges and defeats in life, but we do not go through them as the defeated soldiers, but as victors in Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. So I want to just pray right now. Let's just stand and pray for unity in this body. And what I'm going to do before I turn this over, I'm going to pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So what we find is, again, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those that will believe in me. Because of them and their witness about me, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory that you gave me, I gave them, so that they'll be unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. And then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you have sent me and loved them in the same way that you've loved me. So I pray right now, Lord, that we get that into our spirit. That was your prayer, Lord, for us. And I pray that we have complete unity in this body, Lord, that would be majestic, supernatural. People would come to Seaport, Lord, and see this church being able to accomplish magnificent issues in this territory, to see souls get saved, Lord, in this territory you've given us. I pray, Lord, that we would bind together and be able to go out and develop relationships and not just do our regular thing every single week, but really get off of Facebook and go out and give somebody a call. Go over and see somebody. Go out for a cup of coffee and say, hey, I want to meet you down over here. And I just pray, Lord, that this church would bind together by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 God bless you guys. As you're seated, we're going to move right to the water baptism here. And amen. We're grateful to have three to be baptized today. And one of our folks encountered some last-minute difficulties and couldn't make it today, but we'll reschedule for them. So they're going to pull the covers off. Let me tell you what baptism is, and then I'm going to bring up the three folks that are being baptized, and then we'll go right to the baptism. And for those of you who aren't acquainted with us, there's a 700-gallon baptistry right there, and so it's nice and warm, and those covers are about 100 pounds a piece. There's no joke. So anyway, pulling those things off. Hallelujah. Baptism, very simply, is not just a traditional thing or a churchy thing. It's taught in the scriptures. Jesus was baptized. And basically, in the simplest of ways, the simplest of explanations, baptism means this. It means I made a private decision, but now I'm making a public declaration. That's what it means. I made it in my heart, but now I'm letting everybody know. It means that I once was walking my way, but now I died to my old way, and I'm resurrected to new life in Jesus. That's what it means. And so I'm going to ask our three, you know, if they would come right now, you know, Josh, Mary, Robert, if you'd come right now and just come on up here. And come on up here. Come on, right? Come right on up here, right? These folks are going to, yes, bringing in Josh. He's out with the kids. Somebody bring him in. But normally we give out certificates. We're not doing that today because these guys are going to receive a brand new style of certificate. It's actually going to have their picture of their baptism on it with the certificate. It's a brand new thing that we're going to be doing starting today. So you'll get it a little bit later. We'll have your actual picture. So you'll always be able to remember that and look at the certificate, okay? And so, Mary, come on over here. You're being baptized today. You know, tell us why. What has the Lord done?
Well, I've never spoken on a microphone, so here we go. So he's like a tornado in my life. He started rumbling when I was very young, and I didn't know what to make of that. And he has changed my landscape completely. And it's amazing. And I just had no idea. And now I'm here. And I deserve it.
You know what? You came as a result of Robert, your friend Robert. Yeah. Bob brought you here. And back, was it May?
Yeah.
It's May.
May.
And you've committed your life to Christ. And the look on your face is different. You look different.
Absolutely. I feel so different. I can't even tell you. You know.
Each one of them is wearing a shirt that says, I took the plunge at Seaport Community Church. I'm about to take that plunge. Amen. God bless you. Is there anything else? Yeah, bring Josh in here too. We want, you know, so anything else you want to share with us before we
go?
Let's go. No, let's go. All right. All right. All right. You're going to go in just a moment. All right. Okay. Come on, Josh. Come on. Come on right up here. Mary, just step right back here. And then we'll... Come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. Stand. Come on over here with me. How old are you, Josh?
I'm 11.
You're 11. Stand right up here. Okay. So you're 11. Yeah. Take pictures. That's an important moment. You're being baptized today. Why?
Because I am stepping up and I want to follow Christ from now.
All right, there you go. There you go. Making mom and dad proud. That's good. Good for you, dude. All right. God bless you. Anything else you'd like to say?
Nope.
You're not like your dad, huh? Oh, I tell you after his mom. Okay. All right. God bless you. Go ahead and stand right back there, and we're going to move to the baptism. Robert, why don't you come on over? Now, this is serious. He's only been coming here. He and Eric have only been coming here for about 2 months, maybe? Yeah. About 2 months? They got married yesterday. I saw the application come through. I'm like, what? Proud of you, man. That's awesome. So at the newcomers reception, you said something, and I want you to just tell us what's changed in your life since you started coming here.
Well, about 2 months ago, Erica asked me to come to church, and my life has been screwed up, so I figured to give it a try, and it changed me.
I saw it on his face. I saw it. I mean, when you meet the Lord, it shows on your face.
Yes.
Your face begins to look different. People go, what happened to you? You know what?
It's a great feeling. You know, I'm accepting God into my heart, and I have a beautiful wife.
There you go. There you go. Is there anything else you want to share with us? I mean, there's been some other changes in your life.
I quit drinking.
And this, please understand something. For him, it wasn't just drinking. It was really a whole, it was part of his family, how the whole family dynamic worked. And so to quit drinking was more than just, okay, I'm not going to drink. It was really part of the whole dynamic of the family. Isn't that great? Thank God for that. Hallelujah. I am so excited to baptize you today, man. It's awesome.
It's my pleasure for you to baptize me. And it really is.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, then let's do it. Take pictures. Take plenty of pictures. This is a big deal. All right? Are you ready?
I am, sir.
All right. Robert, on the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is now my pleasure to baptize you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you. Here you go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One more step. There you go. Come right over here. Come on. All right. You ready? You know what? Don't hold your breath yet. I'm going to talk to you. I'm really proud of you. 11 years of age, being baptized. Good for you. It's a great thing. And I pray that this is something that you never stray away from the Lord. You don't have to. Some people think you have. You don't have to stray away. You can just follow the Lord all the days of your life. I'll tell you, if you do, it won't be boring. Amen. Take it from me. It won't be boring. Follow the Lord. Great adventures ahead. All right? Believe that? It's true. All right. It's my pleasure to baptize you. Now, in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, here you go. God. And Mary?
Oh, no, now I really get into trouble.
Yeah, you guys did good. Mike, you did good. Normally, it's I've been in here and I have fried and I've frozen. So, but this is good. You know? Yeah, I thought it was a fryer later one morning. But anyway, Mary, what a joy it's been to watch you grow in your faith, and just ask questions, try to figure things out, and take this step. And we're really, all of us are cheering you on, excited for you. And you used a term that I often use, that the landscape of your life has changed. There's going to be a lot more changes.
but good ones. Good changes. You may look back and wonder, why? Who am I? Because the changes sometimes can be that dramatic, that wonderful. So let's pray. Just keep. You don't have to worry about anything. You just need to continue to follow the Lord day by day and just watch what He does. Amen?
Amen.
So on the profession of your faith, it is now my joy to baptize you in the name of God the Father, who loves you so much. The Bible says He etched His name on the, etched your name on the palm of His hand. Think of that. Think of that. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for you, and the Holy Spirit that's going to empower you. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Why don't you stand with me and let's sing. And this is an appropriate song to sing. Let's sing this. And when we're done singing, God bless you. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. That's for sure. Lord, may your great grace just go with us. Lord, as we sing this song and worship you and then depart, we rejoice in all that is going to happen. And let me just say this, okay? There's someone else that wanted to be baptized. They couldn't be baptized today, so they said to me, would you be willing to do it at Bluff Point? Thursday, 3 o'clock. If you need to be baptized, I'll be baptizing at Bluff Point Thursday at 3 o'clock. Show up. And I'll baptize you.